This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our future development and the economy and a reflection by Father Enobong Udiadiong. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Leo XIV called for people to adopt nonviolence as a way of life during an audience with peace associations in the Vatican on Friday morning. Nonviolence as a method and style must distinguish our decisions, our relationships, and our actions, the Pope said as he received more than 300 representatives of associations and movements that took part in last year's Arena of Peace in the Italian city of Verona. The gospel and the church's social doctrine are a constant source of support for Christians and a compass for everyone in efforts to build peace, he said. Christopher Wells reports.
In his remarks to participants in the Arena of Peace event, Pope Leo XIV echoed his predecessor, Pope Francis, who said that building peace starts by standing alongside victims and seeing things from their point of view.
Inizia col porsi dalla parte delle vittime.
This approach is essential, Pope Leo said, for disarming hearts, approaches, and mentalities, and for denouncing the injustices of a system that kills and is based on the throwaway culture. Pope Leo highlighted the courageous embrace of an Israeli and a Palestinian man, each of whom had had family members killed during the conflict in Gaza. They are now friends and work with one another, the Pope said, adding that their gesture remains as a testimony and a sign of hope.
Il cammino verso la pace richiede cuori e menti allenati e formati alle
Pope Leo explained that the path to peace requires hearts and minds trained and formed to be attentive to the other and capable of recognizing the common good in today's context. Lamenting the violence in our world and in our societies, Pope Leo said that young people need to be able to experience the culture of life, dialogue, and mutual respect, especially through good examples. Those who resist the temptation to seek revenge after having suffered injustice and violence become the most credible agents of nonviolent peace-building processes. The Holy Father said the gospel and the Church's social doctrine are a constant source of support for Christians in this effort, as well as a compass for everyone, since peace-building is a task entrusted to all. Concluding his remarks, Pope Leo said, "If you want peace, prepare institutions of peace, not just political institutions, but educational, economic, and social ones as well."
Vi incoraggio all'impegno e ad essere presenti.
For this reason, he said, I encourage you to remain committed and present within history as a leaven of unity, communion, and fraternity. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Holy See's official website, Vatican.va, has a new modern design to present papal teachings to the world in a more accessible format. As Devin Watkins reports, the site is the result of extensive technical improvements and graphic design refinements.
The Dicastery for Communication announced on Thursday that the institutional website Vatican.va boasts a new graphic design. The portal seeks to bring the papal magisterium and the heart of the Catholic Church closer to the whole world. The new homepage was designed to offer a clearer and more accessible browsing experience. Visitors will now be able to navigate more easily among the documentation of the papal magisterium, that of Pope Leo XIV and his predecessors. The update is part of an extensive editorial and development effort structured in several stages with the goal of transferring the site's immense historical heritage, online since December 1995, into a renewed portal. To make these pages accessible, diverse teams work together. These include the documentation group, which ensured all content is accessible, and the informatics team of the Dicastery for Communication, which developed the structure. It brings to life the project of Peruvian graphic designer Juan Carlos Ito, an alumnus of the first group of the Faith Communication in the Digital World program run by the Dicastery for Communication. In a statement on the Dicastery's website, Mr. Ito explained the portal design and his goal behind the new look. He said it seeks to represent the embrace of the church in the digital world. This was the first thing that came to mind when I heard about the intention to renew the official website of the Holy See, he said. Mr. Ito noted it follows the spirit and elliptical shape of Gian Lorenzo Bernini's St. Peter's Square, representing the church with open arms, universally accessible and updated for modern times. He called it a clearer, more approachable and contemporary church. The colors are inspired by the Roman blue sky, which contrasts with the warm tones of travertine. Mr. Ito said the larger and more prominent photograph of Pope Leo XIV fills the home page, all of which, he said, shows a living and constantly moving church. I'm Devin Watkins.
More than 60,000 pilgrims from 120 different countries are in Rome for the 30th May to the 1st June Jubilee of families, children, grandparents and the elderly. The Jubilee began on Friday morning with pilgrimages to the holy doors of the papal basilicas of Rome, followed by the now customary dialogues with the city, a series of cultural, artistic and spiritual events in the piazzas of the historic center of Rome. The pilgrimages to the holy doors will continue on Saturday from 8 a.m. Saturday's events will culminate in the late afternoon from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Rome time in Piazza San Giovanni in Laterano, with a family festival and prayer vigil during which the rosary will be recited to conclude the Marian month of May. The Jubilee will conclude on Sunday morning with Holy Mass in St. Peter's Square to be presided over by Pope Leo XIV, beginning at 10:30 a.m. local time in Rome. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
I'm Sister Mfaro Chakwinga. Sudan's health ministry in Khartoum has reported over 900 new cholera cases and 25 deaths. The majority of the reported cases are in the capital, Khartoum. According to Doctors Without Borders, the alarming spike in new cases began in mid-May. In the past week alone, the doctors have treated almost 2,000 suspected cholera cases. The International Rescue Committee expressed grave concern over the outbreak, worsened by ongoing conflict between the Sudanese army and rapid support forces. The African Development Bank has elected Mr. Sid Oud-Ta, a 60-year-old Mauritanian economist, as its new president. The new head of the Africa Bank will lead the institution for a 5-year term of office starting September 1 this year. He succeeds Nigeria's Akinwunmi Adesina. The African Development Bank is a multilateral development bank focused on promoting economic growth and social progress in Africa. Its primary role is to provide financial and technical assistance to African countries. The world and Kenya are mourning one of Africa's famous writers, Ngugi Wa Thiong'o, who died on Wednesday in the United States. Kenyan President William Ruto on Wednesday paid tribute to the man he called the towering giant of African literature, saying Ngugi's courage shaped thoughts around social justice and abuse of political power with his writings. Some of Kenyans described the author as one of the few African writers whose writing was different but distinctively African. A South African mother and two accomplices were sentenced to life imprisonment on Thursday for trafficking a 6-year-old daughter. Kelly Smith, her boyfriend, and another friend were convicted of kidnapping and trafficking the child, Jocelyn Smith, after she disappeared from a small town in South Africa's Western Cape. A witness told the court that the mother, Kelly Smith, told her that she had sold her daughter to a sangoma and traditional healer for 20,000 rands. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Development and Economy, and welcome to the program. In this edition today, Caritas campaigning for debt justice in the world. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Caritas Internationalis is promoting the Global Jubilee campaign, dubbed the 10 Debt into Hope. This is a global call for debt justice and financial reform, which is inspired by the 2025 Jubilee Year of Hope and the exhortations of the late Pope Francis. Through these debt cancellation campaigns, Caritas Internationalis is promoting initiatives focused on promoting debt justice, advocating for fair and transparent debt cancellation and restructuring supported by equitable financial reforms. Caritas is also focusing on social mobilization, through which it is encouraging local communities, especially voices from the Global South, to demand and hold governments and relevant institutions accountable for creating equitable financial systems. While Caritas Confederation members are at the call of this movement, all faith groups and civil society organizations are invited to join forces and amplify the campaign's message and push for meaningful reform. The Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development supports this campaign to combat inequality, advocate for debt justice and systemic reform as an indispensable step to restore dignity and hope to communities burdened by unsustainable debt that threatens billions of people around the world. Caritas Internationalis recently organized a virtual meeting through the webinar to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the encyclical Laudato Si and to renew the call to commit to hear both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. The online event featured prominent figures like Martin Guzman of Columbia University and the Secretary of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, Sister Alessandra Cimerilli. The Senior Officer for Global Advocacy Campaigns at Caritas Internationalis is Alfonso Apicella, who spoke to my colleague Chaos Gassi at Vatican Radio about why it was important to hold this webinar.
The main motivation for a webinar is that we are halfway through the Jubilee year, end of May, and we are also celebrating the Laudato Si, the teachings coming, drawing on Laudato Si, and how that informs, in turn, our campaigning and advocacy within the Catholic community worldwide in the realm of economic justice. We have an awful lot to learn and to enact from the Laudato Si, namely what integral ecology looks like in the economic justice space, and how that informs debt relief initiatives in the countries and communities where we operate in 162 countries. The webinar this afternoon is also the culminating point of the Relay of Hope, which is a global initiative that we initiated on the 24th of May with more than 40 communities worldwide participating by holding a so-called Relay of Hope stage where people light a candle and say publicly that they support the Turn Debt into Hope campaign wherever they are and passing the candle on to others within their community. So that illustrates the power of public support that we are gathering for the Turn Debt into Hope campaign in the Confederation and beyond. I think that one very important aspect that I keep banging on about is the fact that while initiated by the Caritas Confederation, the Turn Debt into Hope campaign is very much an open campaign. So it is being used in many different contexts and by many civil society and faith-based and ecumenical organizations in the world. And so we also want to use this webinar to celebrate the fact that we're doing this together. And we are we are building a coalition of the willing, if you like, among different networks and climate and development movements to illustrate and to tell decision makers and governments and campaigners worldwide that we are in this together.
Also, because you talked about the overarching campaign, which I think is really interesting, and people might not know that it's that this webinar is in the context of that Turn Debt Into Hope campaign.
Sure. So the Turn Debt Into Hope campaign was launched on the 23rd of December last year, 24 hours before the official opening of the Holy Doors by late Pope Francis. And that was precisely because we wanted to support Pope Francis's messaging on debt relief, which he aired and was vocal about in the Spes Non Confundit bull last year, where he said that we should act together, take action together to remedy the unjust causes of the debt crisis in the world. And dare I say, a silent debt crisis. While we know that more than 50 countries in the world are, as we speak, suffering the consequences of the debt crisis, there isn't enough public awareness around that crisis for those 50 countries in the world, which is why we conceptualized, designed, and then launched the Turn Debt Into Hope campaign, drawing on the official theme of the Jubilee year, Pilgrims of Hope, and with that establishing a sort of a benchmark for communities and Caritas and church and civil society organizations to basically use that as an umbrella. So under the banner of the Turn Debt Into Hope campaign, taking action and raising awareness about the debt crisis all together, which you can actually also see from the official petition website that we have in three languages, in English, French, and Spanish, where there's an interactive map showing how many organizations in the world are currently supporting the Turn Debt Into Hope campaign that is also driven by a petition. The petition has three key advocacy asks. The first one is around the cancelling or remedying the unjust and unsustainable debt of countries without posing economic policy conditions. The second is around addressing the root causes of the debt crisis by reforming an age-old international in financial architecture that has been in talks forever, definitely since the Jubilee 2000 campaign was launched 25 years ago. And thirdly, to enact a debt workout mechanism, which is transparent within the United Nations for efficient management of the public debt for the most indebted countries in the world. So we have those that petition, which is the main call to action of the campaign. So we're asking individuals and communities and organizations to sign it, to post about it, and to invite others to do the same. So far, we have more than 106,000 signatures collected through different across different platforms in the world. So it's not just Caritas Internationalis, but also our Caritas partners and allies collecting signatures in different parts of the world. And we're aiming to use that petition and the number of signatures to then go to key political moments this year, including the Forum on Financing for Development, which will be in Seville, as you know, in late June, early July this year, as well as the G20, the G7, and COP30 to say, hey, this is how public, you know, pressure is building, how many people care about the issue, let's do something about it together.
This webinar, this town hall, is bringing together quite a impressive group of panelists. I mean, I saw Sister Smerelli. There's a couple of other really cool
Cardinal
people.
Spengler,
yeah.
Archbishop Katcher.
Exactly. Yeah. And so how did you guys choose who would be invited to speak on the panel?
Sure. So if you like, there's a rationale behind it. So we not only have our own Secretary General, of course, institutionally, present to give the opening remarks, but also because this is a co-sponsored event by the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, we also wanted to have vocal church figures like Cardinal Spengler from Porto Alegre in Brazil and Archbishop Katcher from the UN mission in New York to respectively give an input about, the connection between the debt crisis, Laudato Si, and the challenges we are confronted with ahead of COP30. And secondly, as far as Archbishop Katcher is concerned, what the role of the church institutionally is, as Archbishop Katcher is one of the most important and leading figures in the church at the moment through the UN-based New York, talking and discussing and promoting debt justice. We then also have Martin Guzman from the Commission of Experts from the Columbia University, so where a number of economists from all over the world, about 33 different economists, especially from the Global South, are coming together to release an official Jubilee report on debt through the lens of the Global South, due out on the 20th of June this year.
Senior Officer for Global Advocacy Campaigns at Caritas Internationalis Alfonso Apicella, speaking to Vatican Radio's Kelsey Garcy about the recent Caritas webinar on debt cancellation campaigns. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and Economy. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
We have a chance to lift millions out of poverty. Only one thing is missing. You.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
This Sunday is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and the solemnity of Ascension of the Lord is celebrated also on this day. In some countries, the traditional Ascension Thursday Mass is celebrated. Reflecting on the experience of the Ascension Day, the first reading taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, recounts how Jesus was taken up into heaven and the apostles looked on as he was going. After his resurrection, Jesus was seen by his disciples for another 40 days before he ascended into heaven. During his stay with them, he assured them of his continuous presence with them till the end of time, and also promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in his name. Christ ascends into heaven at the completion of his earthly mission, seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all power and authority, and above every name that is named. With his glorious ascension and exaltation at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ has restored us to the glory of the Father. As recorded in the Gospel reading, he commissioned us to be witnesses of the greatness of God's glory, which every believer is called to partake of, and it should be preached to all nations. To fulfill this mission of witnessing, he gave us the power from on high, the Holy Spirit. It is interesting to know that the Holy Spirit continues to impact, strengthen, teach, and build the church till the end of time. Not only will we be clothed with the power from on high, but the Lord himself will be with his church till the very end. True to his words, Jesus is always with us. There has never been a time he stopped being with us. Through the Holy Spirit, he continues to lead his church under the authority of the sacred pastors. When Jesus was taken up into heaven, the disciples looked on, they adored and worshipped him. They later went back to Jerusalem, not in sadness, but with great joy, and they were blessing God in the temple. We recall how afraid and moody the disciples were after the death of Christ. But with the events of Easter culminating in his glorious ascension, we see a great change. A change from fear of uncertainty and sadness to hope and joy. It is this hope and joy that we are called to share in our world. This hope and joy must be felt in concrete situations of life, and this can only be through our witnessing. To accept the role of a witness means that the disciples must necessarily cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the principal agent of evangelization. Our cooperation with the Holy Spirit is an instruction of Christ, because without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we cannot succeed on our own. The ascension of Christ would have been a serious setback for the mission, if not for the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, whom Christ said will teach us everything. The ascension of Christ signals a new beginning, a moment of restoration for us all. And so we should not be concerned about when and how things will be restored, but we should trust the words of Jesus, who gave us the assurance that times and seasons belong to the Father, and at the appointed time He will restore all things. The ascension of Christ brings to mind the hope for which we are called to inherit as Christians, the hope that in God there shall be restoration of things. In Christ, God has glorified us by granting us an inheritance which becomes ours by virtue of our commitment to the things of God. Let us therefore, with faith and trust, turn to God for the restoration of everything in our lives. And so, as we celebrate this solemnity, let us pray for the fruitfulness of our witnessing, which will culminate with our restoration and glorification. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts, through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
And that was a reflection by Nigerian-born Father Enobong Udiadiong. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our presentation of Sunday's liturgy and our feature, The World Around Us, News About Our Environment. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.